All right, boys and girls, we're going to get started here in a couple of minutes when the numbers stabilize. I actually got some really interesting things in EVE Online, both on the PvP and the PvE fronts today. New programs and things that I believe that only we are going to be able to do as an organization effectively compared to the great unwashed. We being the Imperium, of course. Not just Goonswarm. Let's... Yeah, it's good. Well, I grab some coffee and we'll get started. All right. So if you are new or confused, no reason you can't be both. We do firesides and Elysium at conference.goonfleet.com. That's where you can ask questions. And okay. Whenever there is chaos, whenever there is radical change, especially when that radical change is accompanied by confusion, stupidity, and incompetence, there's lots of opportunities. One of the challenges that we and every other organization in the game currently face is the fact that it is kind of difficult right now to know exactly where the chessboard really is in terms of understanding the value of our space, in terms of understanding the impact of these patches, and in terms of adapting to the signals we are getting from the in-game client of EVE Online. Now, this is a little weird, right? Usually, this long after a patch, we have a rough idea of what the fuck is going on. I'm very happy to say, having just gotten out of an hour-long Kremlin meeting with 80-plus of your directors, corp directors, sub-directors, CEOs, that people have been putting their brain trust together and figuring this shit out. There is a race between us and rest of Eve.jpg, whether they acknowledge it or not, to figure this out before the pubbies do and figure out what our leverage is. One of the ways that we have always succeeded strategically is that we find something in the game that we in the Imperium and we in Goonswarm can do that is harder for our enemies and for the pubbies as a whole to be able to pull off. In the past, that was work walls at scale or having a super capital umbrella. Eventually, some of our enemies were able to compete, but those who were not able to compete were essentially priced out of the halls of power. So there's these crab sites. People have been experimenting with crab sites. Dreadnoughts out on the field. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Now, we've got to defend some dreadnoughts. They're very expensive. Only some wealthy people can use them. We've been messing around with that. And we lost a few, right? Like, you put things on the field, you lose them. And the challenge, of course, is how do we have a proper homeland defense doctrine for the year of our Lord 2021 into 2022? So these motherfuckers have been dropping marshals and redeemers and sins and shit on stuff all around Delve. And I say these motherfuckers, you know who they are. You got Mike Flood and crew. I don't want to name all of the names because I'm going to leave some people out and they might be offended. But the point is, this comes from the Kunmi zone, my friends. Our new homeland defense doctrine is going to be Stupid Idiot Fleet. That is a working title. Imagine 100 sins and redeemers stomping on a puppy's face forever. An actual honest to God alliance level Black Ops battleship homeland defense doctrine. We are doing this because they are affordable enough for us. Sort of like an upgraded version of Yacht Fleet, but such that we don't lose sight of the fact that we will lose these things and it will be stupid. I'm still going to keep the working title of Stupid Idiot Fleet, which I think Penis Smash gets credit for that name. Is it going to work? I don't know. Is it going to be hilarious? Yes. Are the pubbies going to be able to do it as well as us? They're probably going to point and laugh at us and come try to murder our Stupid Idiot Fleet, which is going to be fun because then we will get to kill them or die trying. One of the challenges for modern homeland defense is when 60 Kikimoras come out of nowhere and start attacking you, the response is usually, oh, this is an acceptable amount of damage, or oh, I'm taking fine, because they use trig guns. Of course, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal while the DPS ramps up. You need to be able to get a homeland defense steal on target as rapidly as possible, and faffing around with getting subcaps on a Titan just hasn't worked out very well, right? Even when we're close to home here in Delve, it is hard to get a Munin fleet on top of a Rorqual or a Dreadnought or somebody who's in trouble in time before the Kikimora damage spins up and the thing dies. Unless every single ship in the fleet has its own jump drive. So yeah, that's what we're doing. That's our thing. So there are two parts of this. This is the PvP part of it. I am very excited about it because this has a tantrum radius of 8 light years. Now I want to talk specifics, or more specifically, how we're waiting for some of the final bits of the fit for this doctrine to be sorted out. Our procurement guys and the Kremlin, and generally speaking, everybody who's involved in designing the final details of this project have been hard at work. And we have begun production for Sins and Redeemers and some of the other things. So I don't want to get too far into the weeds because some of the details may change, but we are absolutely doing this. The basis of it will be Sins and Redeemers. If you happen to have them already, feel free to dust them off. We will be getting fits and stuff out to you as soon as is reasonably possible. And, you know, it might take a week for us to get this going. We'll see. So that's cool. Now, I told you guys last time on the Fireside that there's nothing that makes me happier than seeing, you know, random invaders in our space getting sledgehammered with excessive force. And I want to make it very clear that this is actually a doctrine that if it works, and it might not, we might lose some stuff because we're stupid idiots. It's cool. you know, it's a general use homeland defense doctrine. Like, this is not something that we're intending for only certain special cases. It's not just going to be bailing out dreadnoughts. I think that it is a hilarious set of skills for people to polish and get used to. CCB has buffed the fuck out of the Black Ops battleship. I am certain that if we start using it effectively, CCP will nerf the hell out of it, but CCP is a little slow and distracted right now. And whatever, we're stupid idiots. Shit might get fucked up and might not deserve a nerf. Maybe they'll be happy to see it get used at scale. Nobody has ever tried to do this before, which is why I think it is hilarious. One way or another, we're going to give it a go. Worst case scenario, somebody drops 10 Hodreds on and we start losing Black Ops battleships. Oh, wait, Hodreds now cost... I don't even want to know. I mean, a kitted out Ha Phoenix is like 13 if you're using it for crab sites. It's nuts. And we have fax machines. So this is what we're doing. Welcome to the territory of Umbrella 3.0 featuring Stupid Idiot Fleet. It gets better. I did not. This whole part of the Fireside I'm about to go into is hot off the Kremlin told me what the fuck presses as of just a few minutes ago. So that we need an Umbrella. We need a PvP solution. We need a doctrine. We need a way to have fun and to leverage the fact that we can do this stuff at scale and have the money and fuck you. That's why. Great. PvE. So CCB herfing all these blurfs about the Age of Prosperity and us generally trying to figure out what the fuck. I am less concerned about CCP running the PCU off the cliff now because I know that our own internal metrics show, like there's 850 of you on this Fireside, our internal metrics show that goons are experimenting with cool stuff, goons are trying cool stuff, we are fighting people, we are having fun, explosions are happening, and our internal cohesion has not been damaged by the incompetence and nonsense flowing from Reykjavik. And so in an environment like that, the rest of the game is more likely to take a haircut, because if we're holding our community strong and then 10% of the player base vanishes, then it's that 10% didn't come from here, right? So, hey, whatever, let's fucking have a Black Ops battleship doctrine. But the point is this. I am looking now towards a future of opportunities instead of yelling and screaming about Toddy and Reykjavik, even though I do believe that there's lots of incompetence and what have you. All I give a shit about is our people, right? As long as our community, as long as we are having fun in the game EVE Online, if some dumbass in Reykjavik wants to fuck up a different sector of the game, but the game itself still exists and we are having fun within it, great. That's their problem. They can answer to Pearl Abyss about it. Not my issue. What is my issue is looking for highly leverageable opportunities, such as we mentioned before, what happens if you start throwing around 120 Black Ops battleships at a whack, and there's just a standing fleet of fucking sins and redeemers that drops on anything that looks at us funny within 8 light years. Who knows? That'll be fun. That's a great opportunity, highly leverageable. So one of the big criticisms about this patch is that, you know, it nerfs roll calls. Gosh, that's bad. Whatever. It also buffed the fuck out of Hulks and mining barges in general, but like Hulks and Max now are pretty ridiculous. And here's the thing. Back in the day when we were building up our engine of wealth within the Imperium, and I would be telling people, hey, I want you guys to earn your way into your first Roarqual and then turn that Roarqual into 4 Roarquals and scale up and develop your own personal engine of, you know, basically financial success within EVE, right? If we have a bunch of rich line members, gosh, it turns out we can fight the entire galaxy for 1.5 years and still be okay. So I've always been looking for ways that we can enrich the line, because that is the basis of real power. And for better or for worse, it turns out that there are certain things that do not have any waste or residue or whatever, particular type of strip miner. And it also turns out that a Hulk and a Mackinac can get relatively close to what a Roarqual used to pull in. When I say relatively close, I want you to keep in mind that we are comparing a subcapital ship to a capital ship with all of the differences in cost and utility and effort. So looking at the numbers that I was being given by the Kremlin just a few minutes ago, I believe that in addition to having buffed Black Ops to the point that we should experiment with having Black Ops at scale, a lot of our corporations are exploring using these exhumers that have been buffed to fucking back at scale. This is a time of experimentation, but it appears that in their desire to nerf Roarquals and nerf goons, they have simply presented us a opportunity which requires a lower barrier to entry for our newbies, right? It is much easier for people to get into a fucking exhumer than it is to get into a Roarqual. It is a lot easier to scale exhumers, because if a Hulk is 350 a pop before you put stuff on it, or whatever it is right now, that's a hell of a lot cheaper and easier to get people into than a fucking Roarqual. And gee, if you had a whole bunch of miners in a densely defined tall footprint region, you'd really need to make sure you had a very rapid and effective defense force that would be able to get there, because gosh, wouldn't that be a really big target to have lots of barges at scale out there? Yes. Yeah, so anyway, stupid idiot fleet. So I believe that there are these two great tastes that taste great together. We look for these areas where CCP has overbuffed something, not thinking about scale, while they are chasing the opportunity to nerf what we did years ago. They have presented opportunities for us to play with scale, both in terms of sins and redeemers at scale, and now in terms of exhumers at scale. Now, there is a caveat. It is early days in terms of knowing what the optimal mining system is. I am not Mr. Optimal Miner. I care about war, murder, and power, and a strong economy and a rich line are the tools that get us on that pathway to achieve that, right? So I know that as we are going to these between war phases, it is critically important for us to find something that we can do better than the pubbies. The pubbies can't do very well, and then own everything. And so I believe that there are two major areas where we can get some fucking power, scale, and centralization going on here. One, stupid idiot fleet, sins and redeemers at scale. We're going to lose some, whatever, I don't give a shit. The other thing is going to be working hard on mining at scale. If we use this kind of strip miner on our moons in Delve and we clear the entire moon, from what I've been told in this Kremlin meeting, like, think about it, in an environment where the vast majority of the game is using crystals that now have this waste mechanic on it, if we use strip miners and we plan around it, we can get full value for all of our moons here in Delve. Now, I can't believe I get to announce this. I just love this stuff. We're going to have fun in this fucking game, regardless of what Rattati does. Whew. So, basically, as we build this new economy and this so-called age of prosperity. Now, I don't believe that the age of prosperity is full of prosperity. I do believe that a lot of the stuff was intended originally to nerf goons, as Rattati has made it pretty fucking clear over the last 2 years. But I think that the best vengeance is living well. And it is hilarious if through all of their nerf goons attempts over the last couple of years, we find the things that they did not think of. And we leverage them to the hilt. So please, if you have already been involved in the Locust Sig, and you are like a miner and you're one of these guys, we need our best min maxers here. We need our best, our angriest of mustaches. I want to think consolidation, centralization, scale. I need you guys to figure it out. When I say figuring it out, I mean go out there and get rich. I need you to figure out how to optimize the best way of doing this and also just figuring out the chessboard. So a lot of your corp directors are already on this. Get out there, experiment, fuck around, find ways for us to get rich. I should say richer. So let me take a look at some questions here. Lots of big announcements today. Will the stupid idiot fleet be baked into a SIG or squad? This is going to be it's our homeland defense doctrine, or it will be, so it's not going to be SIG or squad dependent. Inherently, what I would like to see in an optimal world is that we're going to find a number, which is the appropriate amount of exhumers and Rorquals to throw at the problem of one of our moons. We have lots of moons. Naturally, we want to minimize the amount of waste in those moons and maximize the amount of ore and resources that go into all of your pockets, right? So what I anticipate is over the next week or so, you guys are going to fuck around and you're going to find out what optimal moon extraction looks like. Maybe that's it. That number is like 75 exhumers and 3 Rorquals. I don't know. I don't care what that number is. Y'all are going to figure it out. I have faith in the brain trust and in the hive mind. And then once we figure that out, essentially, I want to just have roving groups out there in this consolidated, organized way, stripping everything that we can because Age of Prosperity. And then if anything even winks or blinks or looks funny at one of these groups of however many exhumers and Rorquals we decide is the optimal, most efficient way, it gets 100 Black Ops battleships dropped on it. And then they get a funny story about how fun it is to come to Delve and get sledgehammered by everything that moves. So as it relates to that, another follow-up question is, will there be SRP? Yes, there probably will be SRP. I don't know what that number is going to be, but if we're going to have a Homeland Defense Doctrine, there's going to be some rules. These are high-value assets, of course. They are less expensive than carriers. They're less expensive than dreadnoughts. In an era where dreadnoughts and carriers were more reasonably priced, you know, it would be sort of a logical thing to just skip the Black Ops doctrine and focus more on the heavier hardware. But CCP has made it such that at this price point, we think we can get the most leverage. So we'll see what it is. But, you know, if we lose 10 dreadnoughts, that's 100 billion ISK set on fire. We lose like 50 Black Ops battleships, like whatever. Some people are saying, should they train into a Hulk or what have you? I don't want to give training guidance yet. Some of you are out there and already engaged in the process. And are figuring out what you believe to be optimal. I don't want to actually give specific training goals when it comes to the mining stuff until that's dialed in. Basically, if you believe that you and your friends know enough about mining to experiment and try to mess around and find optimal ways, talk to each other, hang out in GSISC, compare notes, figure your shit out, do your miner hive mind. You guys figured out Rorquals at scale previously. None of that had my fingerprints on that. But once we dial that in, we will then communicate that to you. Hopefully, as early as next week's Fireside, I would like to be able to tell you guys, this is what our current best practice situation is. And then we can all use that as the new baseline from which we can optimize further. Sins in general are going to be better than Redeemers. One of the things to keep in mind about Redeemers is they have extremely short range. There are training goals, I will tell you, if Kunmi tells me to tell you any particular training goals when it comes to Stupid Idiot Fleet. Widows are not part of the doctrine. Panthers are not part of the doctrine. It is Redeemers and Sins, mainly probably Sins preferred more than Redeemers. I don't know if it'd be 50-50 or 60-40. Will faxes be used with it? Yes, like the backup for an escalation involving the Black Ops Stupid Idiot Fleet would be faxes. If you bring a Marshal, I will not guarantee SRP. I will not try to stop you. I expect, and this is one of the reasons why I think Stupid Idiot Fleet is going to be a good name, because I intend to point and laugh at the losses on Stupid Idiot Fleet. There's going to be some, it's going to, you know, it's Goonswarm, right? One of the things that differentiates real wisdom from just trying to survive is learning from the mistakes of others. And, you know, whatever, people fuck up, we're going to learn from it. We're going to lose some of these ships. Oh, no, whatever. But I'm sorry, it's just hard for me to look at like a Black Ops battleship fleet loss as being a scary thing in an environment where, again, 10, 15 Dreadnought is catastrophically expensive in the year of our Lord 2021 because lol ratati. There is one other thing I wanted to loop back around on this, which is the importance of not exporting our shit. Having a localized economy was one of the things that really proved its merits during the war. The fact that we had our own Delve Time unit and that we could shit out supercarriers, dreadnoughts, and titans at half the price of the pubbies gave us a huge advantage. I want that again. I want the Umbrella to be nastier because stupid idiot fleet, Black Ops, and I want more scale at the resource extraction end. And it's easier to scale, I believe, using the Exhumers because they're cheaper and they're easier to train in and they're less of a loss when you lose them compared to the Rorqual shit. My gut feeling is that Ratati personally really liked Hulks and he wanted Hulks to be the big thing again. So they are. And he really wanted people to do group mining ops around a Rorqual with Hulks, presumably, and that the system was kind of designed around spamming Exhumers at things with some Rorq support. So maybe we just take them at their word and experiment with that Goonswarm style and see where it leads to. All right, let me see. I've got some sort of like very specific questions about like Widow SRP and stuff. I'm not going to get into that about like this, that, the other thing. We are still waiting for the like left field design of this doctrine. Like it's not a mainline normal fleet doctrine. This is coming out of like the Kunmi zone, and that's great, but it also takes time and we need to make sure that we have it right before we tell everybody what SRP is going to be on that. Here's a question, or actually a statement. Our warlock engineers have a task, which is to break Hulk mining. I want you guys to break the fucking system. Find ways to make money in this so-called age of prosperity in a group way. Find ways that we can scale it. Because here's the thing. There are lots of ways that everybody can make money across this game. There are lots of ways that we can try to find prosperity in Ratati's little world. But our competition and our enemies, because our competition are our enemies, will not be able to do the kind of things that we do because they can't organize, they can't scale, and they don't share information in a brain trust like we do. So basically, put your fucking heads together, work together. It's not about finding a way that an individual can make money. It's about finding a way that, hey, what happens if you do this times 100 or do this times 1,000? You scale it up, and that's where the real power is. So look for those kind of things when you're optimizing this. How do we ask a question on a fireside? I think you just succeeded in doing that. The way you ask a question on the fireside is you type it in the channel, you just typed it in and ask the question. All right, there's lots of mechanics questions that I'm not qualified to answer. Kunmi is in chat pointing out a lot of things. And yes, we did clear out Gita before we announced this fleet. So if you're out there looking for Sins and Redeemers and Sin and Redeemer parts, G-Ship got there first. All right. So one of the broader things I want to talk about. So there are questions here about SRP for this, SRP for that. What about the changes that we're seeing? Blah, blah, blah. One of the things I want everybody to keep in mind is that because many of the things that are still that have been added in this patch have not been bug fixed yet, there's still a lot of uncertainty about what the stable reality of the post-patch Age of Prosperity economy is going to be like. And whenever the chessboard changes, we learned after the Casino War the importance of adapting to changes. And so that means that we will be changing our SRP or economic policy to adjust based upon the game as it is now and as it is in a week from now. Kazanier has, we had some questions about like moon tax rates and stuff in the Kremlin meeting, and just in an environment of extreme regulatory risk, aka the Ratati administration is clueless and breaks everything that they touch. That means that we have to be able to pivot rapidly. So, Kazanier, do you want to say anything about like upcoming economic stuff like we talked about earlier?
I am, man, chat is going crazy. Let me see if there are specific questions. Let me just like zoom out. A few months ago when we started setting up after the war, we tried to institute a variety of different sort of tax policies in different sectors. Some of that was member corp focused, some of that's line member. All of it was intended to be sort of nothing know anyone rate too high, right? But trying to gather some amount of income from various pieces of the economy. Also to experiment and see what might work and what would not work in advance of CCP potentially flipping over the table and changing everything, which they have now at least attempted to do, right? So we at least anticipate some tax cuts. We have not actually issued some of the potential bills for moonfracks, right? Because the system is not even built. So we're going back to the drawing board and evaluating all of this again together as we gather new data. So this is all continues to be experimental, right? So we're gathering feedback. I also wanted to talk about economy in terms of like local production. We're at the point now where if you have stuff where you're acquiring raw materials to build stuff and you can't find it in Dell for whatever reason, start bringing that up in GSS, because I'd actually sort of like to know, like, actually we continue to import such and such and such, right? If you're a producer, you already know that you hopefully are selling your stuff here. If you are producing ships and goods and you don't have a market, there's no demand out here, I'd sort of like to know about that also. The majority of stuff, unless you are overproducing, right, at some point you hit a scale where, you know, you're going to be exporting for profit because there's a certain amount, right? But this stuff, there's going to be a ton of demand for these new things like Exhumers and Black Ops battleships here. That stuff we want to see sold in Dell. Our producers know that already. They're generally very well behaved. But that's just the general model. If you're getting into production, that's how you should be thinking about it, is your first batches of goods you should be able to sell in Dell. I think that's the main stuff. So yeah, we're always looking for feedback. GSS is the place. If you've got comments, the Treasury team is always around listening, yada yada.
But should we privately sell PI, or be better to have it on the open Delve markets? Put anything on the Delve markets you want, guys. Like, when we're talking about having, you know, keeping things local, that means don't export it to JITA, right? Like, use 1DQ. If you're in Fountain, use your Fountain market. Like, do whatever it is that you're normally doing. Just don't sell. Like, when we start spinning up the mining at scale and really start raking it in again, hopefully, if it's possible, we're going to be exploring that. You know, the way we juice our economy is, you know, you extract locally, you sell locally, and then you build locally in the GEZs, where there's tremendous efficiencies, right? Like, the new version of this empire, right? This is going to be Umbrella 3.0 when it comes to stupid idiot fleet, and, you know, when it comes to using Exhumers at scale, if it is possible to optimize that under this new system, and if that system remains stable week to week, you know, I have no desire to make the puppies happy. Like, if we can find a thing that we can do and turn it up to 11, we're gonna fucking do it as hard and as regularly as possible. Ideally, while those idiots trip and fall and keep killing themselves and start little wars amongst themselves as we get the engines of war and vengeance going. And again, the basis of that is a good and vibrant economy that shits out money and puts it into the pockets of line members who then build warships that we can then use to kill with. Where I'm going with this is, do I expect the pubbies to howl about us dropping Black Ops battleships at scale on them? Yes, and I look forward to it. Do I expect them to get very angry when the MER starts showing that Delve is doing its thing again? Yes, and I look forward to it. So, yeah. And then if CCB gets around to trying to nerf it in like a year or two or whatever, great, fuck them. Let me take another couple questions. Future plans, bingo bait. All right. So one of the things, this guy keeps asking questions about, are we going to be using Stupid Idiot Fleet for ESS defense? I have no idea. That's not something we've really talked about. When it comes to Outer Passage and Test is Next, I talked about this finally on the meta show, the Zone of Rot and the Zone of Death. The Zone of Rot thing has been working out really well. I've been very happy to see Test has lost their bomber SIG. Seiku and Predators have left. Vili looks like he's going to be joining Horde, and I expect more and more people to abandon Test, to rot in Outer Passage, which is lovely. If they come into our Zone of Death, we can murder zone them, but if they choose to rot in the Zone of Rot and continue to lose talent and value in their organization, I'm perfectly happy with that too. And in fact, if they want to sit out there and going, Test is next, that means that you're obligated to drop what you're doing and come across the galaxy after you already put it. Like, I love them being there. It's a very ideal position because they're on the razor path. So I hope that you guys are long-term thinkers but you don't have to be because I am, right? Like I look what happened to Brave. Look what's happening to Test. We know what we're doing when it comes to the doom of our fucking foes. And we have not forgiven or forgotten. But I'm happy with them rotting away in Outer Passage, giving town halls like Baldur did, alienating their allies, and generally being the shit fucks that we know that they are, especially because I'm eager to see a lot of people from Test that I know are toxic and shitty end up ideally clogging the veins of Horde. I think that Horde is going to be poaching a lot of Test guys that Gobbins is too dumb to understand he should not be bringing into his organization, and they will hopefully cause even more chaos from within. I'm really looking forward to it. All right. Will we restore the GEF to work in tandem with Sigs and Squads? Also, Sigs and Squads are doing things. Join Sigs and Squads. Jeff is something that we really don't need right now. One of the reasons we don't need to have like a full-blown Jeff deployment is that our jump bridge network is actually so efficient. When you do a Jeff deployment, to explain this in a little bit more detail, one of the reasons why we did it the way in the past was you needed to forward play right next to a combat zone. However, with our more optimized post-war bridge system, we are able to get all the way to Cloud Ring or wherever the hell we want in the east with extreme rapidity. And that reduces the need for a formal deploy away from your market deployment, right? So the necessity of a deployment is based upon supply chain and your ability to project power, right? So essentially, if we are murdering pubbies and we don't need to deploy, that's actually better, right? As long as the murder is happening on the one hand, and as long as the line member enrichment and profit is happening on the other hand, like you don't need a deployment if you can just hop the jump bridge and fuck them. So hopefully that makes sense. All right. I think that's going to be it for this week. I appreciate you all turning up, and I want you to get back out there and look for ways that you can centralize and consolidate, put your heads together, and make money in this age of prosperity, because the moment that we can find a way to leverage that, we're going to scale it up and turn it up to 11. Thank you for coming. Let's get back out there. Oh, what? Oh,
very quickly.
Here we go.
Billy asked that we just shout something out real quick for GSOL.
GSOL announcement, boys. Here we go.
So citadels are being upgraded, so be on the lookout for unanchoring citadels and get your stuff out of them because they're going to go down. If you have iHubs need upgrade, talk to your corp director so they can put in JIRA tickets. And GSOL is still looking for P4 PI stuff. So if you have that, put up a contract for it to DJ's retirement fund that you just split.
I forgot one other thing I'm being reminded of. We do have an asset safety move up. This time it's going to be different. So after the fireside, we'll often do an asset safety move up. This time the FCs have something a little special for you. This is going to go out of Naga, however you want to say it, NAGA. That is the asset safety destination for everything that was in the ZXB constellation. So if you got asset safety shit from ZXB, it's in Naga. There's going to be a ping for a post-fireside asset safety op shortly. Or maybe it's already happened. Who knows? But get your shit ready. That's it, boys and girls. Thanks for coming.